Turn to Exodus chapter 23, the first method of healing we're going to do today. And that means that you can be healed today by this method.
Amen.
You know, in the Old Testament, in Jesus' ministry, people came to him through the crowd and touched him, or he touched them. One person came through the roof because it was so crowded. So people, you know, they thronged after him. They chased after him. They tried to hear where he was so they could go there. And if it was too crowded, they had to somehow make a way. Well, we don't have to do that much these days, but you do have to take one step. You do have to take one step to get to him spiritually.
Amen.
So I'm going to help you do that today. And so just realize that because he's not physically present, we have to still find him.
Yes.
So through the scripture, we're going to find him.
Amen.
And so when your faith touches him, that means when you believe a truth, that's your moment. So as we're preaching, when you believe the scripture or the truth, that's your moment to receive from him. You understand?
Yeah.
It's not physical necessarily, so just receive in your spirit first.
Right.
Now, the first method of healing we're going to do today is healing through the atonement. You can be healed through the atonement, and actually this is the highest level of receiving your healing. As Christians, we come into the body of Christ and we can remain healed, walk in divine health, or we can be healed and we can receive that through the truth of the cross. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, he said, this is the reason so many Christians, he said, many of you, talking to the church, are sick and weak. And the reason many are dying prematurely is because they don't understand the cross. He said, not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding what really happened at the cross is the reason Christians stay sick. So this is really the highest level where you don't really need somebody to pray for you every time. It's not about prayer getting you your healing. First method is the highest method. So all believers who begin to learn the truth can receive so much easier than having to call the prayer line. You can receive your healing by yourself simply by opening your heart to a truth and acknowledging, I'm in Christ. I'm in the body of Christ. I received this because 2,000 years ago, he took care of it for me. Isaiah 53, verse 5, we quote this all the time, where in that passage it says, the Lord laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. At the time, they didn't understand it. They just saw a defeated Messiah. But that was the atonement. That was the payment. That was the whole plan, was that Jesus would be the scapegoat and the Lamb of God to take the sins of the world. But along with the sins came the sicknesses. He took all the destruction upon mankind, upon himself. And so because of the atonement, we can be healed. Isaiah 53, 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And that's not just I'm grieving or I'm sorrowful. That word in the Hebrew means many different things. It means sickness, weakness, disease, anguish, and pain. Put those two words together. Griefs and sorrow mean everything. Our anxieties, our griefs, our pain, our weaknesses, our sickness, and our disease is all in those two words. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, meaning the correction that we needed, the whipping that we needed, was put on him so that we could be made whole.
Amen.
And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, you've heard that before. That's very important. That happened at the cross. Isaiah saw it years before the cross.
Right.
And so he described the picture of the Messiah. What was that going to actually happen on the cross? And that's why 1 Peter chapter 2 says, by whose stripes you were healed at the cross behind. And so you need to recognize that at the cross, something happened.
Amen.
At the cross, your sins were paid for. All you got to do is receive Jesus. At the cross, your sickness was taken care of. And all you got to do is receive your healer.
Amen.
So it was already taken care of. If you walk in the light of redemption, you can remain healed and whole. Or today you can receive healing and health. Today. Now the scripture I wanted to read in Exodus chapter 23, it's because the atonement of the Old Testament took care of all the people's sins. Well, the cross took care of all of our sins. And part of the Old Testament atonement was that because of all your sins, you have calamity. But if you can be atoned for, you can be healed. If you will obey, you can be healed. If you will obey, you can walk in health. Or if you sinned, you can be atoned for, and then you're back in covenant. So the people of the Old Testament had to attempt to obey. And here's what the scripture says after giving Moses the law. He says, if you'll obey these words, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I'll fulfill the number of your days. See that? He'll fulfill the number of their days. That was in the old covenant. If they walked with him, he would fulfill their days.
Right.
Well, how much better is the new covenant? It's a better covenant on better promises. So at least this promise is included in the New Testament, right?
Yes.
So if we walk with him, he'll fulfill our days.
Yes.
The New Testament's even better because we don't even have to obey all these commands he gave to Moses. In the New Testament, we don't have to try to keep covenant. The Old Testament, they had to keep the covenant in order to get the blessing. In the New Testament, we don't have to try to keep the covenant. Not one time in the New Testament does it say keep covenant.
Right.
Not one time. Not one time are Christians told to try to keep the covenant.
Wow. Glory.
In the new, and there's a reason. The reason is because Jesus Christ kept the covenant. A man.
Hallelujah.
The Son of God came to the earth and he kept the covenant. The first man to ever keep it perfectly, he kept the covenant.
Glory.
He fulfilled the covenant, fulfilled the Old Testament, and then he was crucified. And in Christ, we fulfill the covenant. The only way to fulfill the covenant is in Christ. By receiving Christ, by receiving Jesus, is the only way that you could ever have a covenant. Because the old has passed away. The old covenant, which was in animal blood, is passed away. The atonement was in animal blood in the old. That's gone. It's obsolete. No more sacrifices needed. No more rams, no more doves. No more goats, no more lambs, no more bulls, no more bloodshed, no more old covenant. Jesus fulfilled the old covenant, and if we receive him, we fulfill the covenant. We receive all the blessing from the cross of Jesus Christ. All of your joy and peace is found at the cross. All of your salvation and healing is found at the cross. All of your provision is found at the cross. Everything you need in life has been taken care of at the cross. Jesus ratified the covenant. He signed it with his own blood. And because that inheritance has already been sealed and all you have to do is show up and get it. All you have to do is hear of it and believe it and say, okay, I received that. And you can walk off with the victory. You don't have to try to get joy. You don't have to try to get peace. You don't have to try to get saved. You don't have to try to get healed. You walk off with it. So this is the highest level of receiving your healing is you just admit, oh, I got it. Thank you. I receive it. Now I'm well. Tomorrow morning your family says you don't look too well. No, no, no. In my spirit, I see it. I am well. And when your spirit really, really sees it, you'll see it on the outside. If you can see it with the eye of your heart first, you'll see it in the mirror. So I just want you to see that he'll take sickness from the midst of you if you just obey. The New Testament commands are different than the Old Testament commands. The Old Testament commands had 613 or so. In the New Testament, it's two commands. That you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Number one, and love one another, number two. Those are the commands mentioned over and over in the New Testament. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By this all men will know you're my disciples. The new command is love. So if you're worried about trying to keep commandments, keep that one. And if you walk in love, you can receive all the blessing because your heart's clean. And this is why unforgiveness sometimes does keep people from the blessing because they're not walking in love. Offense will take you out of the blessing. If you're offended at people, having a grudge, bitter, those will keep you from the blessing, because the only command you got to keep is walk in love. Love God, love people. That's really the only command that will start tainting your spirit. Not what you eat, not which days you worship on. None of those other things matter, but your heart does adhere to the love command.
Amen.
And your spirit knows if you're walking in love or not. Your spirit knows if you're treating people right or not. And so if you keep your heart clean and love one another, you can have all the covenant.
Amen.
Or even better yet, just believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You can have all the covenant.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Healing through the atonement is so very easy. In the Old Testament, they had to atone for sin. They had to kill the bull, kill the lamb, kill the goat, kill the turtle dove, sprinkle it all over the place. They had to atone for sin. It was a big deal. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement for the nation of Israel. We don't have to celebrate the Day of Atonement because Jesus Christ provided the atonement. We can celebrate him every day. On this Sunday in this year, we can receive the atonement. We can and in the New Testament, the word atonement's not used but we see the other words used in replace of it is propitiation for our sins. Reconciliation is the atonement. Remission is the atonement. So we have the atonement in his blood. In his blood, we have remission of sins. In his blood, we've been reconciled to God. In his blood, we have redemption. Hallelujah. And because of his death at the cross, you and I can receive all the healing virtue that God has always provided for his people. God has always promised his people, walk with me and I'll keep you well. When they escaped Egypt, the Israelites had no sickness among them. All of them came out delivered. Well, now that you're saved, you came out of spiritual Egypt and you're all supposed to be saved, healed, delivered, and happy. I see that you're all happy about it. So there, you have enough revelation knowledge now to be healed. Everybody, please stand to your feet. Take your communion element here. By whose stripes we are healed. Now I want some of you who are ready to be healed to get healed right now. Some of you who are ready to be healed, get healed right now. If you're ready, based off of just your faith has risen at least a notch up, just come down here. I want you to come down here right now during the communion time, and the power of God's going to be present to heal, and that you can receive your miracle right now before we continue. Just right now, if you're expecting to have a miracle today, just come on. We're going to receive it together. The power of God's present. Every problem that you have can be cared for. I don't have time to go read through all of the blessing from the Old Testament and all of the promises from the New Testament. I don't have time to go through it all, but you just need to know that all things are possible to him who believes. And all things are possible with God. And Jesus healed all people of all sickness and disease. And so let's not play around with it anymore. Let's receive the answer right now through the cross, as simple as it is. Come a little further, a little closer, a little closer, a little closer. Don't be afraid. This is your moment right here. And this is how you do it at home, and this is how you stay well. And some people take communion for a month straight or every day of their life. You can do whatever you want to do, but somehow you got to remember this moment. And that's why we do it in communion. That's part of communion. We remember the Lord's death till he comes. That's not just a sentimental historical fact that we're remembering. We're remembering redemption. We're remembering the covenant. We're remembering sickness and disease is gone at the cross. We're remembering salvation came for one reason only. So take a look at the bread. It represents the body of Jesus Christ. And as we bite into it, that's your point of contact to receive the power of God, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. Whatever's wrong in your body, reject it right now. As we eat it, reject it. Whatever's wrong, reject it right now and be healed. Go ahead and eat. I rebuke sickness and disease from everybody. From everybody. Leave them. Leave them.
And I receive it.
No more.
And I receive it.
No more.
No more. No barren among them. No more barren. He said that. No more barren in your land. And I'll fulfill the number of your days. He'll fulfill the number of your days. He'll fulfill the number of your days. So nobody's dying prematurely here. Nobody dies prematurely anymore. Nobody dies prematurely. All right, by whose stripes you were healed. All right, so go ahead and say it. Say, I'm healed then. I'm healed then. The power of God's in me. I'm healed. Thank God. You got it. You got it. That's it. No more. No more. Did y'all have any pain at all? Anything painful, noticeable? Is it gone? Is it gone? Somebody else? Well, you praise the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody else was laughing. That means you got it. Who was it that was laughing? Sometimes you laugh by faith. Sometimes you laugh because it's gone. Sore throat's gone. Praise the Lord. He's smiling. Heartache. Praise the Lord. Physical or spiritual? Like a spiritual. Lost your child.
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. He'll mend you completely. Everything's okay. Somebody else had a result? Something happened. What was it? You're back? Is healed now? Praise the Lord. What happened there? Say it. I can't hear. Katie, fall down, go boom. Okay, so you fell, and now you're well. Move around for me. Where was it hurting? I rebuke it. Do this. Do this. Do that. Do that. No more pain. Praise the Lord. All right, now listen, sometimes you feel it immediately. Sometimes you feel the power. Sometimes you feel peace. Sometimes you don't feel a thing. But you walk off thinking in your heart, wow, I got it though. So don't be looking at the mirror too much for the first week. Like just ignore the mirror for a day and a week and just live your life like you're living right the day after the cross. Right the day after the cross, he took care of all of your sins, all of your sicknesses. We rebuke sickness and disease among us. Amen. Everybody lift your hands. Thank him. Thank God I'm well. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else notice a different wave? If you notice a difference, you? Shoulder pain's gone. Praise the Lord. Mary Lou? Couldn't close your hand and now you can? No more pain. Praise the Lord. Good. All right. All right, all right. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am?
I don't feel any more pain in my ankle, and it's really been rough.
No more pain in her ankle, and it's been really rough lately. Show me. She's trying not to spill her grape juice. You weren't supposed to open that yet, but anyway, we'll open it now. All right, you who are up here, let's seal it with the blood, okay? You who are out there, let's seal it with the blood. Whatever you need to be delivered from, seal it with the blood. If you need to be set free from sin, some shortcoming, some terrible problem, some oppression, some mental problem, some lies of suicide or destruction or depression, some hopelessness. Let's deliver ourselves right here through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's garbage. All that hopelessness is garbage from hell because you have hope. There's hope for your eternity. There's hope for your current situation. There's hope for your life and your family. God's got a plan for you. You know that, so you can't listen to the devil. So let's seal off our mind right now by the blood of Jesus. Be delivered from every evil foe right now. I rebuke the devil. Come on, say it. I rebuke the devil. And every demon. I'm free. I rebuke it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Leave your sin and your destruction here at the altar. Don't leave your communion cups, but leave everything else here and walk back to your chair free, rejoicing in the Lord. Bless you, man. Glory to God.
Right now, if the doctor's report came, or if your body proved out that every single symptom was already gone and you knew for an absolute fact that you were already healed, how would you act? That's what faith says. That's what faith says.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. That's an honest question. What would you do if you were totally well and it was all provable? Some of you would jump, some of you would shout, some of you'd dance, some of you'd run around. Some of you just go like this.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
All right. Have a seat. Matthew chapter 8. Go to Matthew 8. Let's cover just one question mark that some people have had. We did this Wednesday night, but I'm going to refer to it here. Sometimes... wrong teaching that, you know, lasted for decades and centuries. Wrong teaching says that by his stripes I am healed is only for spiritual, that Jesus only took care of spiritual matters at the cross. And you and I need to know, that is that true? Did he only take care of spiritual things, or can we actually have physical things? And if we can have physical things, then how come they seem more difficult? It's easy to get saved, right? Somebody prays a prayer and you say you're saved, and then you argue with them that they're still saved. But for healing, it's like you pray for somebody to get healed, and then everybody says, well, how come you're not healed? It looks different because you can see it. That's the only difference. The only difficult thing about physical healing is that you can see it and feel it, and so it's harder to take it by faith for a moment. But it's the same thing. It's part of the same deal. It was in the same benefits package. You know, a benefits package, all it has to do is you got to take it down to the person in charge and say, it's in my benefit package, and so I can have this. And that's how you do with God. You take the benefit package and you go to heaven's court and you say, okay, here's the truth. Thank you for the truth, God. Devil, you're out. But here's how you prove that the cross was more than just spiritual healing. It was spiritual healing, salvation, mental deliverance, and physical healing. Everything was covered at the cross. And you prove it right here real easily. Matthew 8, verse 14, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She arose and served him. So fever can go, no problem. When the evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's what we just quoted from Isaiah 53:5. It's the same context. Isaiah prophesied himself would take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses.
That's right.
Now, Isaiah saw that it was happening at the cross. Jesus fulfilled it even before the cross. And we know he had to do that to establish new covenant truth. New covenant truth is that he came to take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. He did that before the cross. The cross solidified it all for everybody. So he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses needs to be part of your life. I said himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses needs to be part of your life. You wake up with a problem. No. He himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, so I'm not bearing it today. It needs to be part of your life. Any fear of any or any dread of any sickness or disease or pain, your response is, no. He himself took mine.
He himself took it.
He took it away.
He took it.
He himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. I don't have to bear my sicknesses. He bare my sicknesses. Wednesday night, we threw some sicknesses away. He took them away. In the literal translation, he lifted up, carried away, and removed to a distance. The word bore. He bore my sicknesses. He lifted up, carried away, removed to a distance all of your sicknesses. So you as a Christian, as the church, part of the atonement, part of our redemption, part of our salvation is the removal of sickness and disease from our life. So you can lift your head up and walk free from it. Just focus on the truth for about 7 days in a row and just recognize it's true. Let your heart see that it's true that you don't have to be sick. I've been going around the world telling people that Christians don't have to be sick. I learned it as a kid that Christians don't have to be sick. I proved it as an adult that Christians don't have to be sick. You're going to have to prove it for yourself too.
Amen.
It's not an automatic button that gets pushed. It's your faith. It's your spirit. So see it with your spirit and all is well. Now let's move on to the next method of healing that we'll talk about today. There's many methods of healing. All the way to a prayer cloth could be a method of healing. All the way to a point of contact, like go dip yourself in the Brazos River 7 times and you'll be healed. The methods are vast because the Holy Spirit can do it many different ways. These are just a few scriptural methods. So healing through the atonement is first. Healing by Jesus. Like Jesus walks through the aisles today and touches people when they believe. We can just say it that way. He touches people that believe. And to have faith in Jesus, you're really having faith in God. So to just have faith in Jesus and in God. See, up here in the front, what we did is we had faith in the cross. Now let's take it personal. Have faith in God. Have faith in Jesus. You know that if you have faith in God, you can move mountains, right? We know that all things are possible to God, with God, and all things are possible to him who believes. So right now, let's focus on Jesus. And establish the fact that he would never turn you away. In the ministry of Jesus, he never said no to anybody. Somebody came to be healed or delivered. He never said no, sorry about that. He never said no, I can't do it. No, I won't do it. He never said no, wait for a while. No, God's testing you. No, in my perfect timing. No, you'll have to wait till next year. No, I'm too busy. No, you're not worthy. If somebody came who wasn't worthy, he made them worthy and then he healed them. He said, your sins are forgiven. Oh, and then take up your bed and go home. If you don't feel worthy, come to Jesus anyway. He'll make you feel worthy. You need to know that in Christ you're forgiven and made worthy. In Christ your sins are forgiven. And that's why he told us, anybody whose sins you remit, they're remitted. So that and all that means is we need to be able to tell people sometimes, you're forgiven. You're completely exonerated from your sin. Now come on and get your blessing. That's how it works. You're complete. You qualify to be healed if you believe in Jesus. I can tell you, your sins are forgiven. You're atoned for. And so therefore, come on and get the covenant blessing. But you need to know for sure it's God's will to heal you today. It's God's will to heal you even though he's busy today. You know, the devil has convinced people with so many different lies, like, well, you know, your thing is just a little bit smaller than, you know, he's got a hospital full of people to deal with. So you don't bother the Lord. That's just the devil keeping you behind your fears and uncertainties. This is supposed to solve it for humanity, because God's no respecter of persons. Jesus is no respecter of persons. Amen. Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father, and only the will of my Father do I do. He said, I never do anything unless I see the Father do it. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the works. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So if you can find Jesus' will, then you know God's will, because Jesus only did the will of the Father, and that's why he came, to show us the Father. And so if you watch Jesus in the scriptures, you'll know the Father. So that's why if Jesus never said, no, I won't heal you, God would never say, no, I won't heal you. Jesus and God never say no to salvation. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you want to be forgiven, you can be forgiven. If you want to be close to him, you can be close to him. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be healed, he'll never say no. He'll always say yes, because all the promises of God are
yes and amen.
Yes and amen. And so you come for healing, yes. You need to know this. Here's one of the proofs, Matthew 8, verse 1, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed.
Hallelujah.
Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So this leper had faith Jesus could do the miracle. He wasn't sure that he would. Many Christians feel the same way. We know God can. You would argue with anybody that God can do anything, but will he? You have to ask it for yourself. Will he heal me? The answer is yes, I'm willing, because he's no respecter of persons. If he's willing for one, he's willing for the other. So just let that eliminate all of your uncertainty. Yes, he's willing to do it for you today.
Amen.
Glory. You know, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the same yesterday, and he was willing then. And we know he's the same tomorrow. When he comes back, everybody's set free. Is he the same today? He's the same today. He's willing today. I said he's willing today. I said today you can be totally set free and healed today. Matthew 9, verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they were weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. I just want you to see that his ministry was teaching and preaching, but that's not it. He was also healing. So that's why we do a lot of healing here. We're trying to give you an opportunity to hear the teaching, get the preaching, and receive healing. That's part of the ministry of Jesus. He's still doing the same thing that he did yesterday. He's doing it today.
Yeah.
Today's your day.
Amen.
Today's the day you're going to have to stretch forth your hand and be healed. If you have a locked arm, stretch it forth. Jesus found the withered hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. If you're crippled and you have faith to be healed, leap on your feet. I can't really see everybody. I don't see everybody's faith at the moment. But when Paul saw somebody's faith, he said, stand up. And the fellow jumped up. There you go. That's it. Now something just happening right here. Something just happened. So you couldn't walk before. Come on, give me some high stepping. Hallelujah. Somebody just got to jump up, that's all. When you have faith, you do something with it. Glory to God. See, it's a lot easier than we thought. It's a lot easier than we thought. We just got to get real close to the truth, real close to Jesus. As soon as you hear the thing, just do it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. That's all you got to do. You just got to jump and receive. Jump and receive. Hallelujah. So Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and every disease. So every sickness and every disease. Part of the curse was every sickness and disease not even listed in the Bible. Part of redemption is that Christ has redeemed us from all of that. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So every sickness and disease, he covered it.
Yes.
Even modern day ones.
Amen.
With new names, fancier names, Latin names. Every sickness and every disease.
Come on.
Fibromyalgia. That's ridiculous. Look, the name is ridiculous. Pick a ridiculous name and just scoff at it, that in the name of Jesus that has to bow to him. He heals us of everything.
Glory.
Every single pain. Come out of them. Loose them. Your ears got healed? Stand up. Say. Now it's smooth. Hallelujah. Come on, every single pain disappears. How about, itch. Every itch disappears. You know, itch was part of the curse. You can read it in Deuteronomy 28. Itch. Whatever itches, I rebuke it. I command itch to go away. I command it and the disease behind it. Well, I can sense something. Come on, you'll check yourself and you'll see. Praise the Lord. I don't know what the botch of Egypt was, but if you have the botch, you're redeemed from that. But it went along with the itch. And I rebuked the emerods. The Old Testament called them the emerods. If you have those, I rebuke them. Come on, all those diseases and pains they're not a big deal if you don't have them. But if you have them, they're a big deal. And I rebuke them. I command skin problems to be healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, or authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So he turned it over. He turned it over. So now other people can heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of other people, his people. He turned it over. Now he gave us authority to get devils out and to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease.
Amen.
So it's healing through Jesus, healing through other people as well. Verse 7, and as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Go to Mark chapter 16. Healing through other people. Healing through other people. And that's why laying on of hands works. That's why me saying stuff up here works. See, when I say it, I'm saying it with faith. All the faith I can muster up, I'm saying it, expecting the power of God does something the moment I say something.
It will.
Amen.
It will.
Healing through other people. Healing through the disciples. Healing through all disciples. Healing through all believers. And that's why all of you can cause miracles for other people, because Jesus gave us authority and to cure diseases and to heal all kinds and all kinds and all kinds. Mark 16, verse 15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, even in Houston. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. That means we get some sort of supernatural protection. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So in my name, he said, in my name, you'll cast out demons and you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And so we just have to lay hands, and in his name, we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So today, if somebody lays hands on you, you'll recover.
Amen.
If somebody lays hands on you today, you'll recover.
That's right.
He said you'd recover, so you'll recover.
Amen.
So by tomorrow, you'll be recovered. Or at least by next Sunday, we'll all know that you're recovered. Because he said you'll recover, you'll recover. Don't ever get prayed for and then look in the mirror and say, well, I didn't recover. Don't do that. Don't do that. He said you would, so you will. Maybe you just need one more day, that's all. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Jesus goes to heaven. Peter and the apostles start working. And Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. It's 3 p.m. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And then verse 2. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That was just a simple command that he gave in the name of Jesus. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God.
Hallelujah.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was the beggar. Now Peter preaches a sermon here. Verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness that we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, you know, he's speaking to Jews, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted you, and you killed the Prince of Life. So this is a big rebuke to the unbelieving Jews. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So what made the man strong? Well, technically, you know, God made him strong. Technically, you know, the Holy Spirit must have done something. Technically, you know, Jesus healed him. But what he says triggered it was the name. His name did it. through faith in his name has made this man strong. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The name did it. Through faith in his name. So since Jesus Christ isn't here physically, he left us his name. And so when we use his name, it's like he was here. The use of someone's name when you're trying to distribute authority is as if they're here. Like if I gave you my credit card and you went down to buy something and you say, in the name of this credit card, give me my thing. It's the name. It's the authority that backs the name. So when somebody has authority and gives you their name, all you gotta do is flash the badge. Every police officer in the name of the city, the mayor, I have authority to arrest. I have authority to do something, good, bad, or whatever. I got authority in the city. Well, you and I have authority in the spirit world.
Amen.
He gave us his name in the spirit world.
Right.
And that means we can take care of people's spiritual problems and physical problems.
Uh-huh.
So he's not here physically, but he is here by name. So that's why when we say the name of Jesus, we mean it. And you need to have some faith in the name. It's faith in the name. So when someone uses the name of Jesus and lays hands, boom, it's as if Jesus laid his hands. It's as if Jesus said something. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And she rose up and walked. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. I mean, that's like a command. You got to be healed now. So I don't want to hear nothing about it again. So we're gonna distribute the name of Jesus today. Picture, it's like Jesus' shoes walking around, and then some believer steps in his shoes. In my name just means I'm in your shoes now. With his equipment, with his authority. And when a believer touches you, when somebody touches you, that means you're healed. When someone says in the name of Jesus, be healed, receive it. So this is healing through the name. Jesus said, in my name, you would do this. In his stead, instead of Jesus walking the earth, it's you and I. And that's why he gave us authority and power, so that we can accomplish his will. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is anybody ready for the name?
Yes.
Is anybody ready for hands to be laid?
Yes.
Is anybody ready for a finger to be pointed? Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, sometimes just all it takes is a finger, not even the whole hand. Sometimes you need just a finger. You just point right at your problem. You tell it to disappear from you. You just point right at that mountain.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.